Mine is more like a mountain of food with gravy on it. And see what? Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. And I'm going to be reading out of the NIV version this morning. This is my favorite preaching Bible, and it's in the NIV 84 version. So that's why I just like this Bible, so I'm going to preach out of it, okay? So would you stand up and let's read Psalm 100 together. It says, this is a psalm for giving thanks. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Lord, we come to You, we thank You. In this season of thanksgiving, God, we give You thanks. And God, as we look at what it means to be thankful this morning, God, I pray that You would speak to us, that You would change our hearts, that You would allow us to just have a moment with You, maybe a moment of just silence where we can just come and just reflect on the good things that You've given us, where You've brought us to. Reflect on Your Son, Jesus Christ, who You sent to die for our sins, that we may have a relationship with You. God, I pray that's where our mind will be this morning. In Your name I pray. Amen. So this is a psalm of thankfulness. Thankfulness. And I have this question, because I think sometimes in my life, I know in our culture, sometimes I think we lose the ability to be thankful sometimes. And other things kind of creep in. So really, the reflection question for you this morning is, how do we become thankful? How do we become a thankful people? How do we live out this thing called thankfulness? And that's where we are in this psalm. And what I see in the psalm in the first few verses of this, in verse 1 and verse 2, it says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. And what we see here is joy is for all people. Joy is for all people. The joy of God is for all people. Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ is for all people. And through that, we understand that God loves all people and that the church should seek all people. This is a recurring theme throughout the Psalms. As you look through, it's called the Royal Psalms. As you look through these, there's a recurring theme of all nations, all people. And we see that this theme shows that Israel, the people of Israel, the Israelites, have a responsibility to take the truth of God to the Gentiles. This continues throughout the Bible. It continues into the New Testament, where we see that when Jesus sends out His disciples, once He's died on the cross, He's risen, He spent some time, and then He goes back to heaven, right? And we have this thing called the Great Commission, and He gives them the Great Commission. He says, go therefore to all nations, everywhere. So this is a recurring theme throughout the whole Bible of this gospel of Jesus and God wanting to have a relationship with His creation. It's for all people. You know, but sometimes I think there's some people that think, well, that joy is just not for me. I'm just not a joyful person. You ever met somebody just not joyful? Okay? God's joy is even for them. So this joy, we understand that this joy is for all people. We need to be joyful. If we're going to be thankful, we need to be joyful. We must find joy in our lives. And I know sometimes it's hard to find joy, is it not? Right? Especially when the Steelers lose, right? Big boy on the front, yeah. God loves all people, even Steelers fans. I just had to do that. You had it coming wearing that in here. So they play the Cowboys today, if you don't know. So, but joy is for all people. We have to be joyful. So we have to find joy in our lives. That's the first part of being thankful. Because if we don't have joy, then we're sure not going to be thankful. So we need to be thankful. If we're going to become thankful, we need to have joy. Joy is also for worship. Joy is for worship. We see here in verse 2, it says, "Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs." So we are to, if we're to have joy, joy is for worship. It says worship with gladness. What does that mean? If you're glad about something, you're being glad about something. Just glad something happened or whatnot. And you just kind of have that kind of goofy looking smile you can't get off your face because you just, you know, like I played golf and I finally broke 100. You know, I just can't, you know, I'm just so glad, you know. That's how we should come to worship God. When we come into this church or we come to serve Him or we come to do these things, it should be expressed on our face. It should be something that people see and they go, wow, that guy's just happy. He's just happy to be here. He's happy to be at church. He's happy to worship. Joy is for worship. Joy, it also says here, worship with joyful songs, okay? So it's good to come into a church service. It's good to sing songs that make you want to clap your hands. And I know sometimes we get rhythmically challenged or whatever. You know, we can't all clap together. But it's good to do that, right? It's good to come with joyful songs. You know, we don't want to come in here and just sing funeral dirges every single Sunday. And, you know, it's just not joy. Joy is meant to have an aspect in worship as we worship and as we sing. It's part of it. It should be exciting. In verse 2 here, that word worship in the NIV, it says worship the Lord with gladness. That word worship, as you really look at that word, and some other translations actually use the word service because that's probably a better translation of the word worship. But we understand that worship is service. Worship is service. So when we come and we worship God, it's service to God. Because what's the one thing that we can give God? Worship. That's the one thing we can give God. We can give Him praise. We can give Him worship. And it is an act of, in our minds, it's an act of serving God through our worship. We also, if we're going to be thankful, we need to know. First of all, we need to know who God is. As we continue in this psalm, as we look at this, it says, "Know the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." So we must know who God is. And who is God? First of all, God is sovereign. He is a sovereign God. He is an all-knowing God. He is all-powerful. He is over everything. He is fully sovereign. And there is only one God. There is only one God. And that's called monotheism. Can you say that word? Monotheism. There's only one God. And He is the God Almighty. He's the God of the Trinity. He is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is the God that died for us on the cross. Jesus even said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There's only one God. Now that's not, sometimes in our culture, that's not the most accepted thing to say, because we live in a culture that wants to lean toward universalism. We have a culture that leans toward all roads lead to heaven, all ways are right, we're all going to get to the same place. And that's not what the God of the Bible is. He is one God. He is sovereign, and He is the one and only God. Now, secondly, we also see that God is personal. Okay, so we just talked about God's sovereignty, how He's all powerful, all-knowing, over everything. But even that God that's so powerful, He is also personal. Thank the Lord. See, because sometimes sovereignty without a relationship with His creation, it almost kind of makes God almost kind of hard and cold, doesn't it? And that's not the heart of God either. God's heart is for His creation. He loves us. He loves everyone. He wants everyone to come into a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, so that they may be with Him for eternity. Psalm 51, verse 5 through 6, it's a psalm about, a beautiful psalm about, basically, I'm a sinner, but God has come in and cleaned me. And it shows that personal, even in the Psalms, it shows that personal aspect of God, that He wants to be part of His creation because He comes and He cleans us of our sin and He makes us whole again. God is a personal God. We see that through the Gospels where Jesus is ministering to people. He comes to this earth to do what? To put His hand on things. To be personal. See, we serve a personal God, but sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I haven't, I've kind of taken maybe advantage of God, or I have not really understood that. And for the past few months, I've some of those things God has been dealing with me just personally, and some things going on in my life. And I started listening to, I actually read a book and started listening to a guy called Brennan Manning. He was a pastor. He wrote a lot of stuff about us being God's children and God loving us and those types of things. And he was a very he's passed away now, and I don't know much about him, but I did enjoy reading some of his stuff. And he's a very talented storyteller. And he tells this story of the tree. And the story it starts off like this: there's a little boy. And there's a tree. It's a great tree. It's got many branches, low-hanging branches, just a perfect tree for a little boy to swing off of, to have fun, and to enjoy, and just to spend summers just maybe sitting in the tree or swinging from the tree and just sitting in the shade when he got too hot. It's a beautiful tree. And on this tree, there were beautiful fruit. There was a fruit on this tree, and it grew these beautiful apples. Just these beautiful apples that were just wonderful. So even the boy, as he'd come and he'd swing and play on the tree, that he could also grab a bite to eat and eat an apple and sit in the shade. Well, time passed, and this tree, one day he called out to the boy and he said, little boy, come, play on my branches like you always do. Come and be with me. Let's have fun. And the boy says, No, I've got other things to do. I need some money. I need some money. I don't want to spend time with you. I just need some money. And the tree looks at the boy and he goes, "Son, I understand. Here, take some of my apples and go and sell them." So the boy takes the apples and he takes all the apples off the tree and he goes and he sells the apples and gets his money. Many weeks pass, months pass, years. And then the boy comes back, and he's a little older now, and the tree calls out to him and says, "Hey, son, why don't you come play on my branches, swing? Let's sit here a while, sit in the shade." And the boy says, "No, I'm going to get married. I just don't have time for this anymore. I don't have time to spend with you. I'm going to get married, and I need to build a house for my wife." So the tree goes, "Son, cut down my limbs and go build a house." So he cuts down the limbs. Many years go by now, and the tree, all that's left is just the trunk, and the trunk and all the limbs are gone. And the boy, who's now a man, he comes back and he says, and again, the tree calls out to him and says, "Hey, why don't you come spend some time with me? You can set up against my trunk and rest." He says, No, I don't have time for that. I've got to get somewhere, and I've got to go across the ocean. I've got things to do in a faraway land, and I need a boat." So the tree says, "Okay, son, you can have my trunk. cut down my trunk so you can go and build your boat. Many years pass now. There's many, many years and that go by. And now this little boy, he's an old man. He's an old man. He's tired. He's lived life pretty hard. And he decides, well, I'm going to go back to the one place where I think I can find some rest. And he goes back to where the tree was. And there all lies is just a stump. And then the stump calls out to the old man and says, hey, son, come and sit and rest for a while. And the old man, he sits on the stump and he rests. Now, I thought that was a beautiful story. And it's a story about how with God, He is sovereign and faithful always. He is rooted. He will always be there. He always was, and He is all-powerful. And He calls out to have a relationship with us, but sometimes we don't do that. We just want the apples, the branches, and the trunk, and we want what we want. We have the selfish idea. But God is calling out to us to be a personal God, and He wants us to come and rest with Him. He wants us to know who He is and how good He is. Also, God, He is worthy of obedience. You see, God reigns, and God loves us, and that combination of those two make us want to be obedient to Him, to love Him, to be obedient to Him in everything. Jesus also says, if we love Him, we will keep His commands. And what are Jesus' commands? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. If we are to know God, we need to be obedient to Him. Also, we need to know who we are. First of all, we are God's creation. God made us. Okay? God made us, molded us, shaped us, made us who we are. You know, sometimes, you know, if somebody makes something and you're trying to figure it out, you know what's good sometimes? To look at the owner's manual. Right? See, all the men are like, nope. I ain't looking at no owner. I got this. And I mean that as in God's Word. So we are God's creation. We should seek out God's Word, be obedient to His Word. The next thing we see in this verse is that we know that the Lord is God. We know that He made us. We are His. We belong to Him. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And we get this idea that we are God's children. Did you know that? That you're God's child? And the best way for me to comprehend this is to look at my own relationship with my own children. And I think that's how God views me a lot of times. It's kind of like not everything that we want is good for us, right? And as the father, I have to say, no, you can't do that, right? Okay? Moms, dads, you know what I'm talking about? This really fleshed out this past Halloween, okay? In our house, I have a three-year-old son. And of course, he gets all this Halloween candy, you know. But the thing about a three-year-old is he'll sit there and eat the whole thing of candy. And we know that that's not good for him. It's not good for us because we don't want him bouncing off the walls. So as John Micah, he got his Halloween candy and we did the trunk or treat and he got some more candy from school and just all these different places. He had this big old bag of candy. And it was so funny because he was like, one night he was like, Dad, I'm just going to hold my bag of candy when I go to bed. I'm not going to eat any. I'm just going to hold my bag. You know, and of course we're like, no, you're not doing that. And of course that makes him upset. He wants to throw a fit. He doesn't like it. We're the worst parents ever. You hate me, okay? But we know that that's the best thing for him. And really, he doesn't understand, but he should trust the Father, but he doesn't understand that, right? And what happens is he thinks that the Father, that I'm being mean to him when I'm not. Because actually, my son got the bag of candy when he wasn't looking, and he ate a bunch of it. And then he comes to me and says, "Daddy, I don't feel good. Daddy, I don't feel good." See, and that's what I was trying to not let happen. And that's how God views us. Did my love for my son change because he disobeyed and ate the candy? No. Never. Even though he did what I told him not to do. Now, are there consequences? Yes. But my love never changes. That's how God views us. And see, sometimes I think we fall into this of God's view of us is sometimes our view of ourselves. Because we look at ourselves, and when we mess up, when we sin or we fall into temptation or we don't do the right thing or we do something like it, we beat ourselves up, don't we? I'm just a dirty, rotten sinner. How could God love me? And that is negative self-talk that we put on ourselves. That's not the way that God views us. Because when God views us and he looks at us, all he sees is the blood of Jesus. All the things that we have done in the past, that we will do in the future, the blood covers all those things. And he looks at us as children. And he keeps no record of our sin for those who have given their life to Jesus. Now, is there consequences for our sin? Absolutely. But God's view of us does not change. See, that's taken me a while to really, really understand, because sometimes when I mess up, I want to beat myself up. Man, I'm just garbage. I'm just the worst. Why did I do that? Why did I talk that way? Why did I, do that? And that's not how God views us. We're viewed as his children. Just like in the story of the tree, the little boy comes back and he has taken advantage of the tree. He's treated the tree very, very poorly. But the tree still accepts the son to come and rest. That's God's view of us. We need to know who we are. We are God's sheep. And here's the thing about sheep. Sheep are accustomed. They have a bent to stray, okay? I didn't have sheep growing up. I grew up in East Texas. We don't do sheep, okay? We do cows. So maybe this illustration works more for me with cows, because we always had cows and we had a ranch and stuff and raised cows. And cows, man, I cannot tell you. If I had I had a dollar for every phone call I got at night. Hey, your cows are out. You need to get your cows back in. Oh, man, just all the time. And me and my dad had to go out and get our cows back in the fence. See, cows, and at this point, sheep, they have a tendency to stray away. See, even for us who know Jesus, who have an experience with him, who love God, we have a tendency to stray. We're tempted sometimes, aren't we? Maybe we fall away from God in a certain way. We have to understand that about ourselves. We have a tendency to stray away. And here's the thing, we will be tempted. Just like my son is tempted, he was tempted with the bag of candy, even though he knew he shouldn't have. We're the same way as adults. We have a tendency to stray. So we need to understand that we are God's sheep, and we have to stay close to the shepherd so that we don't get lost. The next thing is, how do we become faithful? We need to be thankful. What? That's not very creative, John. So you're telling me to become thankful, we need to be thankful? That doesn't make any sense, right? Stay with me, okay? Thankfulness is shown outwardly. If we're truly going to be thankful, it's not something that we hold inside. It's not something that is trapped inside and nobody ever sees. If we're going to be thankful, if we're going to become thankful, our thankfulness needs to be shown outwardly. It has to. And here's the thing, I think sometimes we have, because we live in a very prosperous place, we have so much at our disposal here in the United States, and we live pretty comfortable lives, sometimes I think it may be harder for us to be thankful. So to become thankful, we have to be thankful. We need to be thankful, and our thankfulness needs to be shown outwardly. This is shown in our worship. Warren Wiersbe, he wrote a commentary, and I was reading one of his commentaries, and it said this, and I really love this quote. It says, "If we are controlled by the Holy Spirit of God and the Holy Word of God, we will reveal it in the way that we worship." If we are controlled by the Holy Spirit and we live out the Word of God, it will change the way that we worship. It'll change it. Now, am I going to say you're going to go, you're going to raise your hands and dance around? Okay? Because for me, like in worship, like when you see me standing here like this, I am clapping my hands, okay, on the inside, okay? That's not how I express myself. I'm an old cowboy from East Texas, you know? I'm not going to clap, okay? Can I get an amen, somebody out there? Okay? She's not going to do it. But some people express worship differently, and that's okay, and you should. You should express it outwardly. You should. Because when it's expressed outwardly, it shows others that you are thankful. So our thankfulness is shown in the way that we worship. And worship is not only just what we do here on an hour every Sunday morning, but it's the way that we live our lives through the week, how we serve others, how we pick up a mission project and maybe go to Hope Shalom or Tehachapi, or I'm going to go to Central America on the mission team, or I'm going to go to Boys Ranch or whatever. As I'm going to serve in the youth ministry, I'm going to serve in the college ministry. Worship is shown outwardly through those things, and it's thankfulness. Thank you, God, for giving me this opportunity. Thank you for using me. God, you are good. Thankfulness is shown outwardly. Thankfulness is also, it's shown in our personal lives. And here's the one thing that I feel like I deal with sometimes is when I become unthankful, it opens up the doors for some sin to creep in. Unthankfulness breeds sinful behavior. Like complaining. Okay? Complaining. See, I might be stepping on people's toes because complaining, we like complaining, don't we? Well, where does complaining come from? It comes from being unthankful. When we complain about something, well, John was preaching this morning and, he let us out a little late and I was the last one to furs, you know. I just can't believe he'd do that. Complaining. See, you're not thankful that you have a great preacher to preach, you know? But when we complain, a lot of it stems because we're unthankful. You know, just different things in our lives, simple things. Idolatry comes from unthankfulness. When we idolize something. See, we're not thankful about God and what He's done for us and what Jesus has done for us. We'd be kind of unthankful to God that we try to choose some kind of other idol. What about pride? Pride comes from unthankfulness. We become prideful, you know, because it's what we've done. I did this instead of thanking God for letting you be able to do that. And ungratefulness. Ungratefulness. When we become ungrateful for the things that we have. I just don't like my shirt that I have on. I wish I could afford a new shirt, you know. Or I'm unthankful. I just the old car that I drive, it's just, man, I hate that car. See, it's ungratefulness. Unthankfulness creates ungratefulness. You're not grateful for the things that you have. And I tell you, that is a spiral downward when you become ungrateful. Because the things of this world will never be enough to fill that hole that you're trying to fill. Nothing. Even if you go buy that brand new pickup truck and drive it off the lot and you think, oh, this is going to solve all my problems in the world. And then what happens? You back into a telephone pole and you put a big old dent in it. Or what happens if you buy this house that you've wanted forever and you do this house and all of a sudden something breaks on it or something. The things of this world will never, ever, ever, ever satisfy that hole in your heart. And that's why we need to be thankful and grateful, not complain, and just enjoy life. And that's the greatest thing about the Thanksgiving season and the Thanksgiving holiday, because it is my favorite, because it's not about presents. It's not about what I can get. It's just about, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. And I'm content with what I have, what you've given me, and I'm happy, I'm joyful. Thankfulness is shown outwardly. It's also shown in our witness. Even the unbeliever understands thankfulness. Right? Even a person who does not know Jesus, does not follow after Jesus, does not know Him, they still understand thankfulness, don't they? So as God's people, if we can't show thankfulness outwardly, what is that saying about our witness to God? If we can't be thankful, sometimes even the world can be more thankful than we are. We have to show thankfulness in our witness. So let's just recap this just a little bit. So to be thankful, we need to be joyful. We need to be joyful. That fleshes out in the way that we worship. Fleshes out through a smile on our face when we come into His courts, when we come to His church. We need to know who God is. We need to have a healthy view of God and how He views us. Because I think when we really look at the character of God and who God really is, what He's done for us, when we look at the cross and what Jesus has done for us, when we look at that with clear eyes and we understand who God is and who we are, we cannot help but be thankful. We cannot help but be joyful. I mean, sometimes when I just take the time to slow down and I just think about what Christ has done for me in my life, I am overwhelmed by what God has done for me. And also to be thankful, if we're to become thankful, we need to be thankful. And thankfulness is shown outwardly in worship, in our personal lives, in our witness. Verse 5 in our scripture says, "For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." God is good. God loves each and every one of us. He loved us so much that He sent His Son to come and die, to pay the penalty for our sin. And the ultimate thing to be thankful for is this. And maybe some of our Awana kids can help me out here. Romans 5:8 says, "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That's one of our Awana verses that we've been studying on Wednesday nights with the kids. But in that one thing, that's the ultimate thing to be thankful for. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for John Quincy Gillespie, for all the sin that I've done, all the sin that I will do. He's covered it. and I know better than you. Jesus Christ came, and He died for each and every one of your sins, so that you, and He invites you to come and believe this simple truth that God can save sinners. He can redeem us. And if you have not accepted that truth, what a better time to do that than right here, right now, during this Thanksgiving season. I'm going to invite the musicians to come, and as we kind of sing a hymn of reflection, as we have some time of invitation, feel free to come to the altar and pray. Feel free to come to me and talk to me. And if you've never made that decision for Jesus Christ, if you've never believed that and you've never said, Christ came and died for me and I believe that and I want to be saved, come talk to me. You can walk the aisle, you can talk to me while the music's going on, or you can talk to me as we leave. If you don't want to walk in front of everybody, you just want to talk about it, talk about it. So as we enter this time of reflection, I pray that the Spirit works in you. And if you need to make a decision, come. Come make a decision. Let's stand. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for being a good God. A God that loves us, that cares for us, that you sent your Son to die for us. And God, it's a simple truth. You came to this world and you died on the cross to save sinners like us. And God, you promised that if we put our life and our trust in you, if we believe in you, if we believe that simple truth, you will save us. You'll transform us. We won't be perfect, but you'll begin to mold us and shape us into the people that you want us to be. And you will give us that true joy, that true thankfulness that we've been talking about this morning. God, I pray if there's anyone here that needs to do that in their life, that they would. That they would do that. God, if as we think about thankfulness, God, I pray that we would have a spirit of thankfulness, God. And if we have any spirit of ungratefulness or pride or idolatry or any of those things in our life, God, I pray that you would take those and remove those and allow us to be thankful. God, as we enter this time, God, I pray that you would speak to your people. In your name I pray. Amen.